God damn, it just fucking works. Okay, it just fucking works. Now we're starting. Piece of shit. God damn it. Son of a...
Bitch. We nail this every week. I mean, just out of the gate, we nail it so hard.
I mean, that's why the people come and watch our shit.
That is absolutely the reason, Jamie Noguchi.
Actually, I did get a message from a listener, a viewer, someone we don't know. So, I got a Twitter message asking, like, what's the best place to listen to the show? And I don't know about you, but I was like, I don't give a fuck. Like, wherever you catch us is the best place to catch us. Cause like, you know, this is just for the funsies and stuff. So,
yeah, I mean, the default thought process in my head is, go to Apple Podcasts, go ahead, click like and subscribe, give us a 5-star rating if you would, and then go to MeUndies.com. And use offer code fucking do it at up in the right hand corner. You see a little microphone up there. If you just type in fucking do it, nobody will actually get paid. There won't be a discount.
Wait, what about
you know that I know that you know that I know that you're supporting us.
What about our Squarespace account?
No, I don't fucks with Squarespace. It's
wait, what about Uber with our life changing money?
No, that's a stone cold thing, and Uber is an evil company, and no, absolutely not. I have kind of a standing order to try not to support any companies that have a quote-unquote jam pad. There's something like,
oh my god,
anytime a dude named Brent is gonna explore the space, I get real nervous real fast.
I'm trying to think of like other brands that sponsor podcasts and shit like that.
I have no idea. I'm assuming there's some sort of food delivery service like Gobble or Blue Apron or something like that.
Yeah. And, yeah.
You know, to be honest with you, with my diet these days, Jamie Noguchi, I just can't bother to spend the time to go to the grocery store and buy food because I'm a Neanderthal. Now, thanks to Blue Apron, they individually package tiny pre-cut versions of your food in the most wasteful way possible, ship it overnight in a diesel-powered truck to your front door, leave it encased in ice packs that are not able to be biodegradable for another 50 years so that you, dear listener, can have yourself balsamic glazed salmon. That's right.
God damn. I would love to get sponsored by a brand that has nothing to do with what we do. Like some random bullshit, like I don't know, like REI or something like that, or just.
Well, I mean, REI is relatively adjacent to our interests, in all fairness. So
we hardly talk about any of that. Well, not true. We talk about outdoors and climbing sometimes. We talk about
outdoor stuff all the time, and if anybody bothered to follow you and or I on any sort of social media, they'd know you do a ton of climbing and stuff, and I do a ton of outdoor exploring.
Yeah.
And we're both proponents of REI. We actually think it's a really great company, and I really love their stuff. Frankly, shit, their REI branded stuff I like a lot more than the other stuff.
You know, we should get sponsored by Crunchyroll then, because we never talk about anime on this channel.
That's absolutely true. But Jamie Noguchi, what I think we should actually get sponsored by is the incredibly overpriced bottles at Yeti. That's right, your friends Yeti. When you think a hairy, abominable snowman buying unnecessarily expensive water bottles to deliver hydration to your door, think Brandon and think Yeti.
I want to get sponsored by like either Leica or PRS, or like some like doctor PRS lawyer brand, like, or something like that.
That would be interesting. Just everybody else has got like MeUndies money. We are sponsored by one specific law firm that is trying to reach out.
Yeah,
like we have a listener that has an uncle that knows that the kids are into the quote unquote podcasts and is willing to throw singles of ducats our way.
Yeah, yeah.
So that Jamie and I can go enjoy that sweet, sweet delight that is Sizzler.
Yeah. I think, I don't know. Do you think if we make it to 100, should we try to like find a sponsor maybe?
I think we should probably try and find a sponsor so that we make it to 100. just throwing that out there. But we'll see if we make it to 100. I think the better question would be, actually, you know what? That's an idea. If you know of a company, you run a company, you're curious about a product, design, idea, what have you, and you'd like to throw it to myself and a one Jamie Noguchi for the fucking Do It Cast to be able to figure out how you improve your shit, we are ready, willing, and able to whore ourselves out for you. We
your
product.
Yeah.
Absolutely. But the fact of the matter is if you have enough wherewithal to say, you know what? I can make this better. That is a sign in the market that you are so far beyond most products.
Mm-hmm.
Like Coke, Pepsi, meh.
Mm-hmm.
Feh.
Mm-hmm.
At this point now, they're trying to go, hey, you can be less fat, so we're putting less sugar in things and making the cans smaller, Tubby. Like, you don't need to sell less of something. You need to sell more of something. That's why you come to the fucking Do It Cast.
Yeah, that would be interesting to see if like a brand would send us a product that is either in development or like a generation one.
Yeah.
And we fuck with it and see what we think would be improvements. And then, you know, back and forth. That would be really interesting. I don't know how to do that, but that could be fun.
Yeah, I don't know how to do it either. I assume we'll have to go to some sort of con or something like that and figure something out. But anyway.
I would like Leica to send us a whole bunch of lenses so we can tell them how to improve on them.
I would like Leica to send us anything. Genuinely anything.
I looked up a Leica Bible or just a Leica a book. Like that had, because when we went to the store, we saw they had a Leica Bible of like the history of the lenses and all this kind of stuff.
Reminding anyone who hadn't listened to a previous episode, Leica is like the creme de la creme. It's the Bugatti of cameras.
Yeah.
Jamie, can you spell the brand real quick in case anybody wants to Google what the hell we're talking about?
L-E-I-C-A.
Okay, so to give a quick recap, Jamie had a Leica lens from his grandfather. It's older than my house. It's still in amazing shape. Due to the Leica store in DC drool all over it, this place was ridiculously expensive, but the staff in there were incredibly friendly and incredibly welcoming, which I was not expecting when you sell a $10,000 lens.
And we walked back in like this. We look like hobos. That podcast in our basements.
Yeah, I am absolutely of the mindset that Mark Cuban has leveled the playing field for schlubs with money. Like nobody knows who's rich anymore.
That's true. The hipster style has made it possible for scrubs like us to appear that we might be rolling, which we aren't, but we might be.
Yeah.
So I tried to look up just like a Leica catalog or a Leica thing that had the history about the lenses and stuff. And I found an out of print book that, on Amazon, it started at $800. And I was like, fuck you. What kind of a brand? Like your brand is so good that books about your brand are almost as expensive as your fucking, your fucking cameras. That's amazing to me.
I'm telling you right now, Jamie, it is a different, it's a different tier of people where they just assume that, oh, it's Leica related stuff. Of course, this is this much. Like they have a different concept about the cost of things. These are people who eat at Capital Grill. They throw $300 around at lunch like it's not a big deal. So the idea of spending $800 on a book is equivalency of you and I spending $55-$60.
Yeah. God.
It's a different tier. It's a different tier.
I want to get to that level. I should never have left web development.
That is probably a fit of all of the things that you have went, man, I should have, and then followed up. That may have been the one where you may get to that money.
Yeah. But then I would have to, the cross compatibility and different operating systems and legacy browsers other bullshit.
No.
There's a reason why I draw comics. Anyway,
Yeah.
Brandon Chalmers, what have you been geeking on lately?
So three things that have been kind of recently humming around my sphere. First one, I kind of jumped on down a rabbit hole of like shitting on people with the Blue Apron thing and everything. So, Jamie, I know you absolutely hate yard work.
Oh, yes. I would burn my yard if I could. I would just kill it. Just fucking end it.
Now, I have allergies pretty bad when it comes to the yard. However, one of the weird byproducts of my real fucked up childhood is that I actually really enjoy yard work because there's a sense of accomplishment of being able to walk away and go, trees planted, lawn's done, this is finished. Like, there's a finite process to that work. It doesn't feel never ending. And there's something very satisfying about that, that you can also, in most cases, finish yours, look at your neighbor's lawn, go, lazy bitch, and then walk away with a sense of pride that you are somehow in this small sphere better than that guy.
Yeah.
And that shouldn't matter, but it absolutely matters. So I decided that I was going to hop onto what I found, what I thought was a very hipster rabbit hole. What come to find out is a very like middle America trend by like dads in their 40s. Is the return of the real lawnmower.
Ooh, what is the real lawnmower?
Real meaning R-E-E-L, the classic like 30s, 40s, 50s style manual lawnmower. So,
oh, fun.
No gas, no oil, no smelly, no loud, no vibrating or anything else like that. So I decided to pull the trigger. I went onto my favorite site when it comes to buying tech. Kids, if you're not going to wirecutter.com to buy stuff, we don't get paid by Wirecutter. They are a subsidiary of, I believe, the New York Times. They do product reviews for all sorts of stuff. Huh. They used to have a sister website called The Sweet Home. They combined the two of them together, and they do reviews of absolutely everything. Half of the crap in my house that absolutely just fucking works is recommended by the Wirecutter.
Fun.
They give a very practical solution for which one you should buy. They give a secondary option if the first one's sold out. They give a real bougie option if you want to spend the extra. And then they give a basement version of like, here's the budget pick. If they only give you two options, it means you need to spend a little money on this thing, because if you buy cheap, you're going to buy it twice.
Right.
So what they suggested was getting the Scotts 20-inch reel mower. It's real straightforward. I know I keep using the word reel over and over again, but it's incredibly straightforward. It's manual. It's not very loud. I managed to clip a Bluetooth speaker to my waist today. I got home. I went out and I cut the grass and I had the volume at 50%.
Wow.
And I had a leisurely walk around my yard. The thing only weighs like 30 pounds. It's really easy to push. I was able to do it with one arm at some points along the way. It made the entire process very easy. The only downside is that you have to basically keep up with it. If it gets too high, it won't work. You'll have to break out a weed whacker or break out your gas mower. I haven't thrown away my gas mower or anything.
Right, right.
But for considering I usually have to cut my grass every week because it just grows so fast, it was a genuinely enjoyable experience. Go ahead.
Oh, do you have to sharpen the blades?
No.
Okay.
They work like scissors. So after a couple years, 5-6 years of use, yeah, you probably should. And Scott sells a kit for you to do it yourself if you'd like.
Ooh.
Or you can go to any sort of lawnmower place around, probably spend $30-$40 getting them sharpened, and it's still going to be relatively cheap. The lawnmower, I believe at the time of purchase, it was on sale. It was $129. It's now $139. Mm-hmm. Still relatively cheap. There aren't a whole lot of moving parts to it also. So there's nothing really to break. If you have a gigantic yard, probably shouldn't pull the trigger on it, but
we have a big ass yard. We have a corner lot, so
yeah, but at the same time, Jamie, to be honest with you, I think my backyard and front yard combined together just about equal out your space. Mm-hmm. Maybe you have a little bit more, but it's one of those, like, if you have a relatively okay to smaller size yard, I would totally suggest pulling the trigger on this. It was the first time I could ever say that doing my lawn was an enjoyable experience. And that's once I went down the rabbit hole of how wasteful lawnmowers are because of how inefficient they run.
Oh, yeah.
They burn diesel and gas, the two-stroke motors and everything else like that, that, you know, running a lawnmower through the season, supposedly, I saw this at like three separate websites, supposedly the equivalent emissions is running a car for 500,000 miles, which seems exorbitantly high. I don't think that's genuinely a true thing. But to be honest with you, if it's 5,000 miles running it through one summer season and I'm running this thing once a week, I got to believe I'm doing quite a bit of damage by running my mower. So yeah. I think spending the money, not having to buy the gas, not having to buy everything, I think if I manage to keep this thing working and keeping it proper and clean, once you're done, shake the thing out, get all the loose grass out of it. It works totally nice. It also makes for a healthier lawn because it cuts your grass like scissors as opposed to swatting at it like a samurai sword.
Yeah.
So your lawn actually becomes healthier, and because the grass clippings don't clump up inside the mower and become like nastiness, they evenly distribute across your yard and then become fertilizer for your own grass.
That's fun.
So there's no need to actually like rake or anything else like that, or empty bags full of stuff or whatever.
Yeah.
So that was actually a really nice experience there.
So you said you had to keep it low. How high can you let it grow before you have to switch to something more powerful?
I believe the way that the settings are on this mower, you can adjustably raise it and lower it. I believe you can go anywhere between 4 inches and 1.5 inches.
Okay.
To my understanding, the regular recommended height for healthy grass is like 2.5 inches, which is their medium setting. I think realistically, you'd have to take two passes at it. I think if you did your lawn every week and a half, every 2 weeks, I think you'd be fine.
Mm.
Like, if it gets, you know, if you can't see your shoes inside your lawn and your lawn is thick as hell, yeah, it might not work.
Yeah, that's a problem.
But I would highly suggest you give it a spin and check it out. And you can buy cheaper ones and everything else like that.
Sure.
The reason I went with the larger one is because I wanted a big wide path. I didn't want to have to cut the thing over and over again. You can get like 12 and 14 inch ones for like 50, 60 bucks that seem to be rated perfectly fine on Amazon if you want to try it. But you're going to spend a lot of time going back and forth across your lawn.
Yeah.
But I highly recommend it, and yeah.
Yeah, I might look into that because I fucking hate the lawnmower. We inherited an electric one from a friend, and then you have to get the plug always unplugs, and like the extension cord doesn't work with the inside or with the outside thing, so I got to hook it on the inside, and it's like, I mean, I hate the regular mower, but the regular mower just works. So if this thing and just works, that's a lot better because I fucking hate mowing the lawn.
Now, bear in mind also, I still use an electric weed whacker as far as doing all my edging, and I still use an electric leaf blower to clear all of the grass clippings off of the sidewalks and pavements and everything else like that around. So I am still using electricity to do other things. But again, I still feel like I'm doing a better thing for everyone involved, including myself, because then when I get done mowing the grass, I don't feel exhausted because it's less than half the weight. Mm-hmm. I don't have to push the thing all over the lawn. It doesn't need to be self-propelled because it's not so goddamn heavy. I couldn't do it myself.
Yeah.
I'm not rattled to the bone, and I didn't listen to a mower screaming in my ear for the last 20 minutes going back through everything.
Yeah.
So I spent 10 more minutes cutting the grass, but it was a genuinely enjoyable experience. Like, to be able to have Young MC playing from a speaker at my waist as I'm kind of jamming through the yard, it was a perfectly nice, like, let's put it this way. It was safe enough also. I had the dog out with me. Like, she was chilling out. I didn't have to worry about her. I wasn't concerned about it because once you stop moving, the blades stop.
Yes.
It's completely safe in that sense. So, like, I would highly recommend it. If you have pets, if you have a dog that's really interested in the outside, if you want to just have a more enjoyable experience cutting your grass, get out, get a bit of exercise. It was definitely an enjoyable experience.
I might take a look into that because
anything
to make it anything to make it better and for me to not suck down like lawnmower fumes as I'm going back and forth.
Yeah. But the whole thing, like for me, getting it in and out of the shed and then the pull start and then the whole thing and then the clumps of grass and then this was a much better experience. Yeah. I'd much rather put forth another couple minutes of actual work and feel better about it, because to me, I think the work is worth the results.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Okay. Thing two, if you have not watched it on Amazon Prime, it is free for Prime subscribers. I started watching The Patriot, okay, which I don't know if anyone's seen. The way it kind of seems like it's supposed to be is old guy from The Lost, the bald guy who I can never remember the name of. He runs like a third party intelligence firm, not necessarily like government adjacent. It's like private contractor sort of thing. Mm-hmm. Has two sons. One of them is basically a spy that does work where basically he gets hired and embedded at companies and then has them basically do other work across seas. So the idea is he gets hired at this piping company that designs industrial piping for flowing of chemicals and what have you. And this company does a lot of work out of Luxembourg, which in turn is a mediator for Middle Eastern countries that some places won't deal with. Like according to this, I have no idea if it's true or not. France and Spain and all of the other European countries, Germany, yada, yada, yada. They don't do actual bank-to-bank business with countries like Iran,
huh,
or Afghanistan or some of the others. So Luxembourg becomes this hotbed of activity. So the idea is this guy gets hired at this company, and this company is doing contracting for Iran. The dad essentially sends the son over there with a sum of money to try and buy the election in Iran to keep the guy who's looking to add nuclear weapons to Iran's capability from getting elected. And everything kind of falls apart from there. And it has this really like it almost has this kind of self-deprecating kind of fun start to everything. Like, uh-huh, dude shows up, and I'm not giving anything away with this, but kind of give an idea of what the humor is. Basically, like, first scene, dude shows up late to the interview at the place. The guy he's sitting across from who's grilling him is the guy who played Red Foreman on That 70s Show.
Okay.
And is essentially asking him very, very technical questions about this field. And he is fucking it up left and right.
Oh,
right?
Man.
He gets out of the interview. He's pretty convinced he hasn't gotten the job. He needs to get the job to be able to save the world, keep yada yada. Right, but like, he has to get this job. He's walking out to the parking lot. There's another kid there who had also interviewed before him. Guy one asks the other kid, says, "Hey, how do you think you did?" And the kid's like, "Oh, I think I did really good. I think I nailed it." And he asks the guy, John is the operative guy, and he asks John, "You know, how do you think you did?" And he goes, I don't think I did so good." And they're standing at what would be like the curb to go walk across the street to the parking lot, and John makes this decision that there's only two of them vying for the job, and he's got to make sure that he gets it. So he pushes the kid in front of a truck.
That shouldn't be funny.
No, it should, but it sets such a tone for how John problem solves. And the worst part is the kid doesn't die. The kid has traumatic brain damage, but he's got a Rain Man level capability where he still understands all the technical aspects. So you smash cut to like three or four episodes in, and John's sitting at his desk, and the other guy, I think his name is Eugene, sits down next to him in a mini desk with like a nurse and a padded helmet, and is essentially going to help John do John's job because John sucks at the technical stuff. But they couldn't rely on this kid to go out and do presentations, so they had to hire the both of them.
Oh my god!
Has such a great tone with it. Yeah, like I'm about halfway through season two. There's only two seasons on Amazon right now. It is delightfully dark in a weird way. Like, it takes a lot of turns. It's a lot of fun. It's easy to leave on in the background, but at the same time will draw you in. If you are somebody who watches TV while you are working, it might be a little difficult because a lot of the scenes are done in French with subtitles.
Oh, okay. So
be mindful about that. But highly recommended. That's a hell of a lot of fun. As a byproduct of this show, one of the things that John does to cope is he writes really incredibly honest folk songs about all the terrible things that he's done. and performs at coffee shops until his brother, who is his handler, essentially escorts him off stage. So he tells this really loving story about how he just wants to do the right thing, but he ended up pushing a poor kid in front of a bus, and now the kid wears a helmet, but he had to steal pee from somebody else to be able to get the job so that he can end up doing the thing to be able to save the world. And immediately the brother like runs up, snatches the guitar from him, and then pulls him off stage.
That's beautiful.
Because of this, I, of course, because I'm easily subjected to these sort of things, I start looking around, realize I've got all these acoustic guitars around. I haven't touched an acoustic guitar in forever. I go to look and realize that because I haven't touched an acoustic guitar in forever, my hands are soft baby hands.
Oh, yes. Yes, yes, yes.
So I need to solve a problem. Jamie, I had no idea, and this is me being an idiot, and I'm sure a lot of people who play guitar are going to be like, duh. I had no idea that they had ball-ended nylon strings. I'd never played around with nylon guitars because I had always done acoustic with steel string guitars. I was always under the impression that totally different instrument, totally different set of strings. I needed a classical style guitar that uses the right thing. Didn't even like occur to me until I bothered to Google and I was like, oh, I should totally go do this. So I popped right over Guitar Center $6 later and I've been strumming at the thing ever since.
So the only thing, the only thing you might have to adjust is the tension, because the the plastic strings, the classical guitar strings are with gut or whatever, they exert less force on the neck. So classical guitars sometimes don't even have truss rods, so you might need to adjust that. But I mean, you're good to go. That sounds awesome.
I've had to retune it quite a bit, and to my understanding, these are steel centered strings. So. Oh, okay. They're not gut, so they do have a bit of tension there, but I have had to retune the thing a lot more than the regular one.
Yeah.
But also, that's a lot of me going back and forth from using a capo. So
capos are awful.
Right, so that may just be me switching back and forth and just kind of relearning how to do it. But the plus side is I'm feeling worlds more comfortable just plucking, which is something that I hadn't really done a whole lot in the past. Right, so like as a byproduct, I am totally turning into even more of a hipster douchebag by letting myself get influenced to play folk guitar, and I bought a lawnmower that doesn't use any gas.
Brandon, you are not full douchebag hipster because you did not go out and purchase an acoustic electric classical guitar or an acoustic electric classical MIDI loaded guitar like a Godin. So you're not quite there yet.
That is true, and I do actually have an acoustic electric guitar, but I did not put the nylon strings on that guitar.
Yeah,
I probably should have. It probably would have been easier to play, and the acoustic electric already sounds like garbage anyway. But
yeah, there's a brand that got bought up by PV, but before they got bought up by PV, Parker Fly. They made a so they make acoustic electric guitars, but it's they're carbon fiber bodies, and it was the first company to mass market a carbon fiber body. So okay. It's a 3-pound guitar, but it shreds like a demon because it has like active pickups. It's loud as fuck, and the bridge is a live piezo pickup designed by Larry Fishman. So Larry Fishman designed the guitar, came out with the Parker Fly, and it's great. I have one. You can get the acoustic sounds are kind of tinny, so you got to kind of sculpt it a little bit. But they came out with an edition that was all nylon string. So it was this weird, like sharp angled body. and you could string it with nylon strings, but it was also MIDI capable, so you could get all these weird awesome sounds. And
that's wild.
There was a folk singer who was an early adopter of the Parker Fly, and I forget her name. It'll come to me in the latter part of the cast, of course.
That's totally fun.
But yeah, I mean, yeah, nylon strings are a lot of fun.
Yeah, at the very least, it's a nice stepping stone into getting back into playing. And then the goal is eventually, because I have far, far too nice in-laws, I end up getting gifted a, Takumi 12-string.
What?
Yeah, it's just sitting on the wall over here. It was just gifted because she tried to learn how to play guitar. She decided to start with that one, got frustrated. No kidding.
No
and
shit.
Then it had just sat there, and I was plucking around playing with it. And she, as I was getting ready to leave later on in the evening, she had it sitting by the door, and she goes, "Do me a favor, take that with you." And I kept telling her no, and she said, no, you're going to take that with you. Nice. And I said, okay, I'll give it a good home. So it's probably about time I treated it respectfully and did something other than played Hotel California on it, because it really just kind of feels... Dude, you say that, but the second you go and fucking listen to the version of Hotel California from Hell Freezes Over and they do the live version with the 12 strings.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, I know.
I am every bit the white guy that you think when I get all gooey over the Eagles. I can't help it.
The intro to Dead or Alive is played on a 12 string.
Yeah, but it's like, what, 7 notes? That's not really impressive.
Well, he uses it for the rest of the song.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
That's true. Yeah, I guess I could do that.
It's very shimmery.
It is very shimmery. I think the current goal right now, which I will never be able to pull off, is to take those nylon strings and manage to get even a stumbly, like, half Guitar Hero clunky version of the intro to Crazy on You. And I know it won't happen. I have an unhealthy love of heart. I really, really do. Like,
that's not unhealthy. They're fucking awesome.
Yeah, I have always joked around, for the rest of the listeners out there, I've always joked around with Jamie that he and I need to start a band where we do nothing but covers of female-fronted songs, where we don't belong singing them.
Yeah.
But
and we don't change the lyrics. Like,
no, absolutely not.
Yeah, because we're not cowards.
No, I think you and I could absolutely do a jamming-ass version of Party in the USA.
We might be able to do this. Because we might have some more time in the future.
Yeah, we'll figure that out.
But yeah,
I've been having fun the last couple of days, like kind of plucking around and playing with music, trying to find something else to get back into.
Yeah, man.
Because I've kind of abandoned video games at this point, at least until the new Borderlands shows up, and then I'll be like, goodbye, sweet guitar. I knew thee well.
Brandon Chalmers.
Yes.
Our friend Zara Fossil does a voice in Borderlands. In the upcoming Borderlands game, she's one of the lead characters. She's one of the new characters. She's a muscle-bound, like, warrior chick with, like, multiple arms. Brandon Chalmers, I think we might get to play as Zara in Borderlands.
Okay. I am all about that life. Also, I don't get a chance to talk to her very often, but please, if you get the opportunity, congratulate her and thank her for being part of my favorite video game franchise.
I'm so excited
to hearing her. I hope desperately that she's not one of the major villains and I have to end up killing her, because I'll just end up finding like a cheese spot to hide from the villain and just let that play for a little while be like, hi, lady that I kind of know. Hello. How are you?
Yeah.
And again, that's fine.
I'm so excited. I've never played a Borderlands. I'm excited to play this one, especially because she's in it, but especially because I know you're going to play it, so we'll actually be able to play video games.
Oh, yes. Baby Bird, I am stoked about that one.
Yeah.
Stoked.
Yeah. Yeah. Anywho,
what are you into? What are you geeking out about this week?
This past weekend was Free Comic Book Day. And I knew you had a wedding to go to on Saturday.
Yes.
You probably didn't get to hit any of the shops.
No.
We had a whole bunch of other shit going on. Like Hazel had a birthday party to go to. And then after that, there was going to be like a housewarming thing that we went to. So I didn't get to hit all the shops that I wanted to. Like if I had more time, I would have gone down to Phantom. I would have gone up to like Frederick. I would have gone to like Baltimore. Like I would have driven the entire fucking area just to hang out and buy stuff at shops and like talk to people and stuff. But I ended up going to Alliance Comics in Silver Spring.
Okay.
And Big Planet in Bethesda. Neither location had anybody signing, which was
okay.
Which was, I guess I've been to those places ever since Free Comic Book Day has started, and they don't really have creators hanging out there, which is weird. Like I know other shops make a big deal of it. They invite creators, they invite cosplayers, they have events for the kids and stuff. Like when Phantom does Free Comic Book Day, they get a rack of people.
Nice.
Like they have people signing and sketching for kids. They have cosplayers hanging out. They have events throughout the day. They have like all sorts of stuff, plus the free comics and all that kind of shit. So it's pretty cool. I usually pick up a handful of the free comics, but I usually pick up like graphic novels that look interesting to me. Like if they have an interesting cover, I'll be like, well, fuck it.
No, that makes sense. That is the day to the shop is opening its doors to try and bring in new readers. And you as an established reader, I think, are doing both the kind and the cool thing of going, yeah, I could pick up the free stuff, but that's more for kids and new people. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go take a chance on something new, or I'm going to talk to a staff member who I've never talked to and go, hey, what are you reading right now?
Yeah.
And have them go, holy fucking shit, this thing right here. And you go, I've never seen that before. And they go, dude, and then shove it in your chest.
Yeah.
That's the time to go, yeah, you know what? Fuck it. I'll read that. That sounds cool.
And I get that experience at Phantom Comics and very few other comic shops. Like normally when I go into a comic shop, they treat me like shit. Even though on the target demographic, even though I draw comics, they ignore me. They don't want to, they like side eye me. Like, what the fuck are you doing in here? And I'm like, hey, I'm dressed like a hobo, just like you, motherfucker. Free Comic Book Day is one of the few times when you go to the new comic, and I call it the new comic book shop experience, because if they don't know you, they treat you like shit, unless it's Phantom Comics. If they don't know you, they're like, come here. How can I help you? Nice. How can I open this world of comic books to you? That's one of the reasons why I like going to the shops around new Free Comic Book Day, because generally they're more cordial and I don't feel like I'm interrupting them. We got treated better at the Leica shop, where they have $10,000 lenses behind glass, than I do at the fucking comic book shop, where sometimes I have books on the shelves. You know, I'm just, it pisses me off.
Hang on. Are we talking about during Free Comic Book Day you got treated this way?
No.
Okay.
Any other day of the week.
No, okay, that's fair. Sorry, I wanted to make sure I wasn't mixing two stories together.
Yeah. But anyway, it's great now because Hazel is really interested in comics.
Okay.
So I look for her and I look for me. Once again, DC kills it with like their kid-friendly stuff and their stuff that's focused on that's aimed towards girls and shit. Like, there is a graphic novel, Supergirl Adventures in the Eighth Grade, done in a really cute style. And her roommate is her name isn't Lena Luthor, but it's Lena something, but it's basically Lena Luthor. And like, they become best friends and all this kind of stuff. And it's adventures in the eighth grade. So there's like feelings and like backstabbing and all this kind of stuff and roommates and shit.
Oh, that's cool.
And it's okay. And it's adorable. And like on the Marvel side of the kid friendly stuff, it's just chibi drawings of their heroes, but it's the same complex stories that are like way too steeped in lore and all this background stuff. And it's just, I try to read it to Hazel and she's like, what the fuck is going on, Daddy? And I'm like, I don't know, and I'm way older than you and I know more about these than you, and it, so fuck it. Like, Hazel is now DC girl and I'm very sad about this.
Well, hang on a second. I have questions, and I'm hoping you can kind of help me out here a little bit.
Yeah.
So in these Hazel friendly comics, I assume that Batman is nowhere around this, correct?
No, Batman is not there. Because he's always a downer.
Right, but not. Because Batman 66 is absolutely a show designed for kids.
Sure.
And Batman Brave and the Bold, which is one of my favorite fun TV shows that is like guilty pleasure sort of fun stuff, that show's a blast, has a ton of really fun kind of feel to it, and turned Aquaman into like super fun tourist dad who I actually enjoy. Like, there is a way to do Batman. I think more to my point, I don't know if Marvel is interested in Hazel as a reader, because I think they're convinced there's no money to be made there. Like, as you get older, you'll get more interested into the established, you know, all of the MCU stuff that will naturally get picked up by them. But, you know, when she's old enough to understand Thor, she's a huge fan of Ragnarok. She's going to go, oh, I know that guy. And then and she's going to start to kind of learn. So it makes me wonder, like, if Marvel is just kind of hedging their bets and going, we've got better movies to draw kids in. That is easier to do.
Yeah. I mean, I don't disagree.
Need this.
Yeah, I don't disagree. And I think even Marvel doesn't disagree either, because they shipped their kids line to IDW. So IDW is now going to be doing Marvel kid-friendly comics. So, I mean, I don't disagree with you. I think you're right. It's just a shame that, like, you know, she's at the right age where she wants to absorb and read all this stuff. Like, you know, I get a bunch of indie comics and I can get a bunch of DC comics, and Marvel comics, it's hit or miss.
Yeah, I get that. I also have to say from an outside perspective here, because I don't know what necessarily drew you into comics or what were the comics that, like, you were into growing up. But I have to believe that Hazel's going to gravitate toward what she can relate to. Yeah. So right now it's going to be that DC kids line or whatever it is. And as she gets older, she'll probably start to relate to some of the movie characters and stuff like that, that she knew growing up, that are going to continue to happen in her universe. But it makes me wonder if your Iron Man's, you're basically, like, for lack of a better way to put it, your classic white dude 70s superheroes are going to be a thing for her.
Yeah. Yeah, it might be.
Hey, like, because you growing up, I imagine, didn't have a whole lot of options. It was easy for me to find somebody to relate to.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, everybody in fucking comics looks just like me. This is easy.
Yeah.
So I don't know if for her it's going to be the same experience. And with all of the options she has growing up, I get the idea right now. She's relating to young girl does the thing who also happens to be super. Like, it makes sense, just so that he stops causing all sorts of ruckus.
Yeah, this motherfucker's been on the table trying to eat stuff. So you're going to be part of the podcast.
I heard him causing all sorts of havoc.
All right, get out of here.
But yeah, like, it's got me thinking that, you know, comics, I think, is going to start transforming and shifting itself in a couple of years when guys like you and I stop becoming the prime demo, and guys even potentially a generation younger than we are, you know, guys who are in their teens now, I think are going to be the last bastion of that, like, super Stan Lee, everybody is, like, real swole and super, like...
Yeah.
Because I don't know. Like, I hope that they're going to end up discovering things like weird small versions of everything, like the Century. Mm-hmm. They're going to discover, like, hey, you can be cool and huge and overpowered as a motherfucker and have a ridiculous suit in the whole nine. And then there's this whole subcontext of him not being able to control everything and what's going on and his own mental breakdown and, like, the things that were interesting for me getting into comics in my late teens, early 20s, were like, this is really cool because they're tackling a lot of shit. It makes me wonder if, as comics get to the point where Hazel becomes, you know, into her early teen years, where comics are going to be at that point.
Yeah, it'll be fun to see. I have a lot of hope for the future because there's a lot of good stuff out now. And there is more and more stuff that's aimed towards the younger kids. A couple of years ago, I went to, like, the American Library Association and walked around, and there are a lot of kid-friendly comics and stuff aimed towards them. So, like, I'm hoping that her generation, like, our generation looked at comics as, like, a thing that you read in your basement and it's not high literature and, like, it's pulpy and it's awful. I'm hoping her generation just looks at comics as, like, oh, it's just like any other book, except this one has pictures. This one, I can make the pictures in my head because it's all words and stuff. So... like, yeah. I hope there's no separation between the genres, you know, like, or the formats or whatever.
I don't know if that will ever actually happen. Like, okay, so here's the reason I say that. I come from a different background, obviously, but in my experience, I used to work at Penguin Random House, the publishing company. Mm-hmm. So I do have a perspective of there is still a lot of like physical book versus ebook elitism. Sure. And comics not being the same medium as everything, still having a bit of respect, but it being its own kind of animal that isn't necessarily looked at the same way. And yeah, superheroes are more commonplace now, but I don't know how many people are genuinely going out and reading comics. I mean, we've talked about this before. Mm-hmm. There's no like, hey, you like a lot of Iron Man? Go fucking find out about him and his alcoholism. Like, there's no...
Yeah, yeah.
Like, hey, kids, did you enjoy Ant-Man? Did you think Ant-Man and the Wasp were a hell of a lot of fun? Remember the Pims? You know how they're real cool? He used to beat his wife. Read it in the comic. You know, now that I say this out loud, I'm just kind of understanding why they don't bring up the comics. A lot of fucking abuse going on. But... Yeah.
Well, and even on Free Comic Book Day with Endgame in theaters, the tie-ins are so confusing. Like the Infinity War or Thanos quest, and like you pick them up and they make no goddamn sense. And it's just whatever. It's confusing.
By the way, that right there, I think, is the big thing of why comics won't ever be respected in the same way that books are, because the fucking storytelling is spotty as fuck. It's also the other thing is a lot of the big name comic writers don't get half of the recognition the way that a Crichton did. Like, mm-hmm. There's no one for one equivalency. There's no, you know, there's a Tom Clancy of comics.
That's true.
There's, you know, there's nobody that goes, I think I want to write the thing, and then goes, and I want to do it as Superman. Like, fuck, no, no, you don't. No, you don't.
Yeah.
Genuinely, you don't.
I mean, the closest thing that we have to like a superstar writer that's like a household name is Neil Gaiman. But he's also like an author. Like he also writes regular prose and stuff. So,
right.
Yeah,
right.
You're right. Like there are very few writers of that level that just write comics.
Right. Yes. So it makes me wonder how that whole thing is going to work. You know, I also know that a lot of people do the whole thing of like, if you were a real author, you wouldn't be doing comics and you wouldn't be doing children's books. You'd be fucking sitting down and telling the proper story.
Yeah, that's a shame. But
it is a shame.
There's one book I picked up for myself and I forgot the title of it. And I don't have it here because I let my dad borrow it. But it's a Thor graphic novel or it's a Thor collection. I think it's like the latest run or something like that. Lady Thor is no longer Thor, and Thor Odin's son is back as Thor, but Mjolnir is gone. So he has a rack of hammers, Brandon. And like the first chapter is him fighting Juggernaut, and Juggernaut is super powered because he's like in the temple of Sidorak or whatever, and these people worship him, so he's almost like a god strength. And,
okay,
and to defeat the Juggernaut, Thor calls down like 100 or so hammers and just keeps beating Juggernaut with the hammers.
Okay.
And like it's great. Like the concept is, I was hooked on the concept, like Thor having a whole bunch of hammers and just going through hammers like they're toothpicks, and just like he has to blow up a bridge. So he calls down a hammer and he calls it like the bomber or something. And this giant hammer explodes and blows up a bridge.
By the way, I think I figured out how to write comics that you like. Pick a superhero, not Thor, not Iron Man. Just pick a superhero.
Let's see. Blade. Blade doesn't get enough love. Blade.
Awesome. Daywalker. So Blade, right? And he's got like his whole crew with him that helps out. His not Whistler, Whistler, or whatever it is, and whoever the fuck Patton Oswalt was in the third one.
Oh, right. Yada, I forgot yada. He was in that.
That third one is guilty pleasure good.
It's hysterical.
I know. Okay, but Blade, but he's able to call down as many swords as possible.
I'm there.
You, sir, are tokusatsuing everything.
No shit.
Yeah, you just want a series of toys is really what it is. Variant versions. Yeah. Know what you're thinking is, well, if Thor gets this many and he's got this many, does Horse Thor have a whole series of his own ones?
Brandon, have you heard the rumors?
I've heard little stuff. I don't want to get into rumors about anything because I'm afraid about spoilers and I don't want to.
We might be getting Horse Thor in the movies.
I know.
Horse Thor is my favorite Thor.
My only question is, who does the voice? Because if it's not Michael Ironside, I'm not interested.
Oh, yeah. I like that.
You need a strong, angry, old man, done with your shit. Tommy Lee Jones is another one. Be a great voice for that.
You need
somebody who is so fucking done with everything before he even got there.
What about a James Earl Jones?
Too stoic, too strong, too well known. I don't want Darth Vader doing that voice. I don't need gravitas. I need grumble. I need like Tom Waits who actually lifts weight. Like I need something like, cause when I think Ironside, I think Starship Troopers.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
And that sort of thing. Edward James Olmos.
Oh, he would be great.
A great voice for that.
Ian Michael Shane.
Ian Michael Shane, I almost worry is a little too funny for me. I've heard him call somebody cocksucker so many times that unless I hear Horse Thor mumble the word cocksucker, even if it's in like a bonus credit scene where like somebody said something, it was like, what's up with My Little Point Break over there? And him just go cocksucker and just fucking walk away.
God, if he was still around, I would love Michael Clark Duncan as Horse Thor.
Okay, I can get behind that.
Terry Crews.
Too adorable, too loving.
Not angry enough.
Great body double. We want to do practical effect version. I'm all about putting Terry Crews in a fucking horse mask and giving him the fucking the whole nine.
Dude.
Yeah.
I want that.
Hell, we just talk about it being Beta Ray Bill, and all it is Terry Crews in a helmet with some duct tape wings on it. Like, he's been worried the whole time. He's just hanging out in an apartment somewhere.
I love that.
Yeah.
And it's, yeah, I'm here for Horse Thor.
Yeah, he picks up Stormbreaker and he looks around and they're like, what do you call yourself? And you see like Beta Edition of The Sims or like a Beta Fish and then a Tampa Bay Rays hat and then like a duck-billed platypus in like his house. He's like, Beta Ray Bill?
God, yeah. I love it. I love it. I'm there for it.
And then it's just Terry Crews' really happy ass just sliding his way through, just swinging a hammer around, slides off in the distance. Yeah.
So Thor with all the hammers. I wish I remembered what it was called, but I let my dad borrow it. So Thor has all the hammers. It's great.
Thor Kusatsu or whatever you want to fucking call it. Yeah. I don't know.
Asgardian yeah. Sentai Rangers.
Yeah, that's essential. Realistically, that's what you want to make. You want to make a thing with Thor with a bunch of alternate hammers and the Warriors 3 as his Super Sentai team
yeah.
is really what you want to do. And fighting gigantic Lord Zedd or whatever the actual Japanese equivalent ice giant or frost giant version of all of them.
Yeah.
And you essentially just form a Marvel version of Tokusatsu.
What I really want, and if I verbalize it, maybe I can put it out there and maybe someday it will happen. I want Brian Clevenger, the writer for Atomic Robo, to write a Japanese Spider-Man book with Japanese Spider-Man fighting super tokusatsu villains and like all this Kamen Rider stuff and all the kaiju and the kaijin and all that kind of stuff. And I would like to draw the shit out of that.
Yes, we have had beers with the Atomic Robo crew. I geek the fuck out because it might be my favorite comic ever. Mm-hmm. I am all about this. You just reawakened an entire desire for me to get an Atomic Robo like sleeve on my leg that I've been thinking about for like years and years and years.
So dope. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I fucking love Atomic Robo. Anyway, yeah. So yes, I am about this. I don't know what petition I need to sign. Can somebody start a change.org position like thing for Jamie to start drawing?
I mean, I'll just start making designs happen and tweet at him and be like, hey, I don't know how to make this happen, but we need to make this happen.
Like, yeah.
Here's my redesign of Leopardon. Here's my version of Spidey-kun. Here's my powered up version of Spidey-kun. Here's Spidey-kun's other rangers. Here's Spidey-kun's second rider nemesis who turns into his best friend later.
Yes, I am all about every part of this.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. I don't know what we were supposed to talk about today, but what we're going to end up talking about is you and the Atomic Robo crew writing awesome Japanese Spider-Man comics, because I am here for every bit of that.
God, I would love this to happen, and I don't know how to make it happen, but it would be my dream come true. Oh,
man. That sounds so rad. God damn it.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the coolest.
Yeah.
What the fuck were we going to talk about today, by the way?
Well, it was going to be short, but I just wanted to get your opinion on spoilers, but we're almost at an hour. Anyway,
No. I mean, are you talking about spoilers in general?
Yeah, spoilers in general. Like,
don't do them.
Okay.
Okay. Here's my thing.
Okay.
I don't care for spoilers. I think you don't even need all of these trailers. I think you can be sold with one trailer that doesn't tell the entire plot point and continues on.
Yeah.
Like, if you're not sold by the idea of, hey, kids, it's another Avengers movie, only this time Thanos gonna get it.
I'm there. I'm buying tickets already.
Like, honestly, all they really needed to do was, like, have Thanos hanging out, like, in a kitchen. Like, just like, making a PB&J. And you hear, like, the crunching of a bag. And then him look around thinking he saw something. And then a crunching of a bag. And then him look around and see something. And then the last thing that you see before the logo comes up is Batista as Drax. Poke his head out from behind him and hold a knife up over his head because he's been invisible and he's been figured here
the
it
entire
out.
Time.
Like, yes, it just says Avengers Endgame and that's it.
Yeah, that's the entire trailer.
No plot, no back, no nothing. Just nothing. Just because we're gonna go watch it.
Yeah, sure.
Trailers. to happen to watch that? And if we call back to something, how fucking funny would that be? Like, the internet would meme for forever. There'd be hidden Batistas everywhere. Like, you'd end up, there would be random things of, like, every single scene in a movie where you, like, there'll be old memes of, like, Arnold as, like, the Predator or whatever, like, in Predator or whatever it is, and like, Ventura around, like, in the forest getting ready to mow everything down, and you'll just see, like, the text bag crinkle. Yeah. And then just, you know, Jesse gonna get it. Like, that's gonna be the whole thing.
I think this is a great way to promote films from now on. Just, like, a weird-ass trailer and let the meme culture happen.
It's gonna happen anyway. Yeah. Like, okay, here's the thing. How much do I know about John Wick 3?
Keanu has a gun and he shoots things.
And he's still fucking mad about his dog.
And he's pissed about his dog. That's enough to buy all the tickets.
I don't need anything more.
Yeah, like if we didn't have Yeah.
Like, you guys got me. You guys definitely, you guys could have gotten me from the beginning where you could have had a 1 minute trailer where he shows how in love he is. It's flash, 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 how in love he is. Him crying over a coffin. The note from him, from the wife or whatever it is, about the dog coming out of the box or whatever it is. And then the next thing you know, all you see is the car gets stolen and you hear a bang and a yelp.
Mm.
And all it says is Keanu Reeves is John Wick.
I'm there.
And the last, you see the thing, Keanu Reeves is John Wick. And then the last, like, 4 seconds of the trailer is just Keanu Reeves walking through a place, just fucking firing on every, I don't need anything else. Dude avenges things, tries to make it right. Second one, dude gets chased again, fucks everybody up. You could have had the whole scene with John Leguizamo where he basically, like, could have been another one with what's-his-fuck calling him the Baba Yaga. Like,
Same
thing. Yeah. I don't need 3.5 minutes of them trying to tell the story. The story's not that fucking we're not telling. Like, it's not Citizen Kane. I don't need this fucking backstory.
Yeah.
I don't.
Yeah, because a modern trailer for Citizen Kane would be like Rosebud, and it would just shove the sled in your face. Like, it would spoil the ending of it.
It would spoil the ending. Right. Like, you don't need to overdo this. You can literally just have a teaser trailer and let that be it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or how about just a teaser trailer? 1 month before the movie, 1 week before the movie, a 1 minute solid trailer comes out.
Sure.
Movie comes out.
Yeah.
We save a bunch of money on this shit. We don't end up having to worry about spoilers and speculations and all the yada yadas and the yada yadas and the yada yadas. And then we all get to enjoy the movie.
Yeah. Like, I feel like the Star Wars trailer, I'm already going to see the Star Wars trailer. I'm already going to see Star Wars. And I feel like they with the Emperor's laugh in the background at the end, I think it's too much, but that's still enough to get me to show up.
You were going to show up anyway at Star Wars.
Sure. I mean, but even before, like, I was going to show up on that teaser trailer. And I know we're going to get more trailers, and I know we're going to get to see more shit, and I don't necessarily want to see more shit. Like, I just want to.
That's the whole thing. You want to know how you actually draw people into the most recent movie? You add a bunch of flashes of the same characters that you loved, and then the last scene that you show is Rey almost getting killed. And that's you drawing in all the hardcores who are going to see the thing anyway and or who are happy with what's going on, and all the fucking incels who think that a female can't be a Jedi.
Yeah.
And then you end up doing the swerve and add Palpatine and add all the other shit. You don't need it.
Yeah. Yeah.
You can take a realistic evaluation at your clientele and at your client base. Star Wars falls into two categories. People who are enjoying the movies and think the new ones are rad and a lot of fun and a great step in the right direction. And people who are like, I don't know about that. And then you just fucking slightly pander them a little bit. Take their 1650 and move the fuck on.
Yeah. I don't like the new trend of having, like, the bumper for the teaser, and then the teaser for the main trailer, and then like the second main trailer, and then the third trailer, and then the 85th trailer. And like the fact that the new Spider-Man trailer spoils Endgame, I think it's too much. Like,
yeah,
I was going to see Spider-Man anyway. That first trailer hooked me.
Yeah, I haven't watched any of that stuff because I haven't had a chance to go see Endgame. So,
yeah,
you know, it's one of those like, where am I at? I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's already spoiled because we know Peter is alive because here's another movie.
There's another movie. Right.
Yeah.
And the internet's already told me about other things. So,
yeah,
you know, I've been not actively avoiding it, but it's like, oh, okay, that's fine. Like, I almost feel like at a certain point, I just need to spoil everything for myself there, watch the trailer, and then be able to just go, okay, now let's go watch Endgame and be able to enjoy the thing for the thing.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
I don't need the spoilers. I don't need all this stuff. Like, you don't need to do it.
Yeah.
You don't. You don't. I get the idea. And the way that the internet's set up now, I can at least appreciate the idea of the spoiler creating a conversation because, frankly, it's probably better we all argue about movies than anything else at this point.
Sure. Movies are fun to argue about because, you know, you can like armchair quarterback and you can get into the details and you can get into the weeds of like how this doesn't make sense. And you can just pull all these threads until you're left bare with like, oh, my God, this thing that I love makes no fucking sense.
Yeah. I like the plus side is if I argue a movie, a Marvel movie with a family member or an in-law, I don't think in most cases I'm going to call them a Nazi by the end.
Sure.
So sure. That's a really positive change as far as every other conversation on the internet.
Yeah. I guess I do agree. If we are going to argue about stuff, let's argue about shit that doesn't make any sense or that doesn't really matter in the scheme of things. Like, they're getting our money, they made a whole bunch of money, and it's a dumb piece of entertainment when all everything is said and done. And if you want to do it better, pick up a pen and start writing, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I will say to the credit of everybody who bitches about this sort of thing, I can appreciate at least that there was a hard date on the spoiler thing where they were like, hey, look, if you are really hell-bent on seeing this, you're going to see it by this date. That's just how this is going to work. Everybody else just deal with it. I would have liked to have seen it. I didn't get an opportunity to see it. They're 100% right. It is not something that was a dire need for me sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. That's not going to be true of everybody, but frankly, I don't need to have the world making decisions so that we please everybody.
Sure.
We don't. Yeah. I think that's a safe enough rule for everybody. What was the moratorium? Was it 2 weeks?
I was impressed that it happened because like I didn't see many spoilers.
Yeah. I think 2 weeks is fair. I appreciate that. And I actually hope it's a new precedent here. Like, yeah. I'm sure I'll get shouted down by somebody on the internet about that or whatever it is, and they'll go, well, that's not good enough for me, and yada yada, and that's fine. It's not good enough for you.
2 weeks.
Stick your head in a hole, leave yourself away from the Facebook and the Twitter machine. It'll probably do you some good.
Yeah.
But if you're gonna get upset about a movie getting spoiled for you, meh.
that
doesn't change what happened.
That's kind of where I land on it. Like, I'm disappointed if I get a spoiler for something, but I always enjoy seeing how it turns out. Like,
yeah,
like the way the events occur is always the most interesting part to me. Like, there are some movies where I know everything that's going to happen, and like I go in and be like, that's pretty cool. And if I usually see all these Marvel movies twice, cause I go with Audrey, and then during the week I take my dad, because you know, he grew up with these comics and it's really cool to see the shit on screen for him.
Right.
So in the case of Endgame, watching it twice, and even though I knew everything was going to happen the second time, allowed me to enjoy it a little bit more because I'm not trying to outguess the movie or like out theorize the movie. I'm just there to enjoy it and stuff.
Yeah. So I don't know. There's an argument to be made about that. I'm sure there's an argument to be made in the other direction. But yeah,
sure.
You know, so that's my hot take on it. I would say less is more. I think we can have a little fun with these sort of things. Like,
sure.
Also, you know, at the last one, he killed half the population of the planet. I don't need the strong, like, serious gravitas music and everybody, like, staring off into the distance. Like, I don't know why everyone decided that they need to either be slowly getting up from a chair or become a fucking, like, prairie dog. Like, it's just like, meh, 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 shield, hammer. Like, I just, like, I don't know.
I will say one of my favorite trailers for one of the movies that I fucking despise, the American Godzilla film, the first one. The like 95 or whatever.
Yeah, Matthew Broderick one with that sweet P. Diddy jam.
That is the best part of that movie. The soundtrack is a banger, but that movie sucks so bad. But the thing that they did in the trailer, and they were adamant about it, they never showed Godzilla. They never showed Godzilla. There was nothing that you, the only thing in the poster you saw is foot. I saw that foot and I was like, that foot looks like a lizard foot. This movie's gonna fucking suck. And I was right. But the trailer hooked me because I had to see this stupid fucking movie.
Right, but the reality is, Jamie, you were hooked because you were a Godzilla fan and you had to see what they were gonna do.
Sure.
But you were in regardless.
But I do appreciate the fact that they didn't spoil it. Like they didn't.
Yeah, that's true.
They didn't show it off. Like it would have been great if they did that with the new Godzilla movie. Like if they didn't show him at all. But I think they had to hook new audiences. But I like some of that stuff. Like the Fifth Element. I don't know if you remember the trailers for that, but the very first trailer for the Fifth Element was this slow pan into this, it was a space scene, and there was like a slow pan into this object that looked, that had all this weird greebly stuff, and then it panned back out and it was just the number 5 in like some kind of metal thing. Had no idea what this movie was about, and that was the only trailer that we got. And then you go and you see the movie and you're like, I didn't expect this, but this is amazing.
Right, but that's why that movie, to my understanding, bombed the box office and became a cult classic.
Yeah.
You gotta give something.
Sure, yeah. I don't know. Like, I guess I'm easy to get interested in stuff.
Like, you could have very easily, for that movie, okay, complete armchair quarterbacking. For that movie, what you do is you have the singer in Flossed in Paradise or whatever it is show up, big open scene, her start, and the trailer is essentially the song that she performs with that. And it's just snippet cuts of her like leading into the song where you see like the ancient alien race and the stones and the destruction and Zorg show up with the gun and then, you know, Corbin Dallas, and then there's a pause in the music and you see Lilu Dallas multipass and then him go, what the hell are you doing here? Hang on. And then they tear through the fucking city, fly through everything, and we still do it for under a minute. And
I think you got people.
You got people, because there's a lot of, like, it doesn't have to tell the whole story. We can have, like, who the fuck is the random lady? She's kind of cute. Hey, cool, Bruce Willis is here. What's up with that? He looks rad. That gun's fucking cool. This whole world is stylized as fuck.
Yeah.
And then you could have been like, this seems hella cool.
Sure. And you keep it under a minute.
I am of the mind that every movie trailer could be done in under a minute, should have some sort of music to carry the thing along to tell you what is going on, or should be quick and to the point. Yeah. Whether it's like, you know how I would have done the second Nolan Batman movie? I would have showed the Joker doing the pencil scene.
Yeah, God.
Do you want to know how you kill the bat? And you just have him mount the pencil and then you have him swing and then they cut away and then you just see him like leading through the city in the back of the car or whatever it is, and shooting a rocket or two.
Yeah.
And then the last scene you see is him in the nurse's outfit doing the outtake where he's beating the thing and then the thing blows up and he does that thing. Yeah. And then that's the trailer.
Yeah.
You don't even really need Batman at all for that movie trailer.
Of course not. Of course not.
But Heath Ledger could sell the fuck out of that thing by being so unhinged that you wonder, like, how the fuck is sleepy-ass Christian Bale going to drag him in? What is going – like, but how good would that be?
Yeah.
Like, Drowman.
Yeah, and it's a quick – and it's a quick bit. Like, it's a quick –
boom, boom, boom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't need scenes from the beginning, the middle, and the end. I just need a good shot.
I need to know what the tone of this movie is, especially for fucking superhero movies. Jesus Christ. Okay, look, I can tell you right now, superhero movies other than Infinity War are pretty cookie cutter. They're like sports movies. Mm-hmm. Like Infinity War is the empire of sports movies. It's not afraid to end on a downer, and I appreciate that.
Yeah.
But the rest of them are introduce character in world, potentially settle backstory. Where are they at now? Snippet, introduce character, introduce character, introduce character, create some sort of overcoming adversity, mediocre villain, random fight scene, end credits, post-credits scene. Lather, rinse, repeat, whether it's Spider-Man or Guardians or Cap or Iron Man or whomever.
Yeah.
It's the same essential sort of thing. And I'll continue to go and I'll continue to do the thing because I like the characters. I think they're fun. I like the different takes on it. And I do think there's enough difference in between, let's say, the first Iron Man movie and the first Guardians movie.
Oh, sure.
That you can take that same framework and make it really good. It's the same reason why I'll still to this day watch fucking Rudy. It's the same goddamn sports movie as Miracle and all the other ones. And they're all fucking great. I cannot help it. The second they get the fucking Rudy chant going and then the fucking guys all put their jerseys down on the coach's thing. Rudiger can play for me, coach. Rudy can play for me, coach. And I'm a fucking wall of tears. Just one looks like crazy. I'm like, you're going to let Sean Essen play that game because he's a fucking hero. He's a hero. A heart of this team, Rudiger. A heart of this team. And then, meanwhile, I'm fucking shouting at Captain America because, you know, he manages to jump on the grenade and Tommy Lee Jones is like, I like that kid. And
yeah, yeah.
We're good. Like, that's it right there, by the way.
Yeah, that's the trailer.
That's the trailer right there.
Yeah.
Like, you show literally him not making it, him jumping on the grenade, the look of surprise from Tommy Lee Jones is like, kid's got something. Him, the slow pan dramatic music that first shows up with him coming out of the super soldier chamber and then him running through the woods with the Howling Commandos. And that's your trailer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like it.
You don't need a whole lot more. We get it. Like, anyone who's going to see that movie has a better than average chance of what Captain America is. And anybody who doesn't goes, okay, so he's undersized. Cool. So he gets American style superpowers. Hey, cool. This is like an old school war movie.
Yeah.
That's everything the first Captain America movie is.
Yeah.
It's super stylized. It's a period piece. It tells the story of Cap coming up and it gets the job done in a tight time period. Like, cool.
Yeah. It's good.
I don't care about the spoilers so much. I want them to just tighten up the fucking trailers.
Yeah.
Need goddamn hype machine. I don't.
Yeah.
I don't need somebody being like, did you see the thing with the thing? Did you see the other thing with the thing? Did you see the thing, the thing, the thing? Did you go to Celebration to be able to watch the thing? Did you spend like the better part of 4 nights, you know, 5 days, 4 nights in a hotel in Chicago to be able to sit in an amphitheater and a balcony to be able to watch the same trailer that everybody else ended up watching on the phone and the bathroom stall? And then they saw the whole thing, and then you decide to have a hotter take than anybody else because, you know, you spent the money on, so, I mean, good for you. But, you know, you get to see the same thing. So it's not really an exclusive. It's kind of like a not exclusive, but I'm totally going to see the thing. And then I went and I saw a bunch of other stuff, and then there was, like, a photo of the thing, but, like, you saw that online anyway. But, like, you know, are you ready for the thing with the thing? because it's going to be rad. And there's another three trailers, so I know I'm already going. I know you're going, but I am fucking excited about the trailers to tell me about the thing that we are already going to. Did you buy tickets? I bought tickets. Did you buy tickets? I am going opening fucking night. That's right, 7 p.m. Thursday. That's what's happening right now. Completely ignore my family. I already threw my kids in the garbage can. Just packed them right in the dumpster. I was like, sorry, Ben, I'll see you later. You're just going to have to fend with the trash people now. Oscar turned out to be a decent guy, and I just, off like the fog, I decided to ray his ass. That's what's going to happen. He's going to look off in the distance. He's going to see me leaving in my 2014 Ford Fiesta, and it's going to look like a freighter ship, at least in his memory, because that's what's going to happen for me. And then he'll just start etching things into the side of the dumpster for the days that he's been in. The Walmart employee is like, son, you got to go. You got to go to a place. And he's like, but my family will come back for me. I'm a junk trader now. And all he's doing is he's yelling at the dude who has trouble getting out of his car when he ends up going into the Burger King. So like he's like, what if I give you this brake rotor? And the guy's like, well, I guess I'll give you 1/4 portion of my Whopper. And really, same movie at that point. So you know, he's learning basically to become a Jedi thanks to me. So you're welcome, America. I help.
That's every conversation I've ever had with anyone waiting for Hall H at San Diego Comic Con.
Brandon, why don't you enjoy going to conventions? No reason.
All right. Well, I think that's it. I think we hit gold. That's it.
I may have blacked out there for a half second. I'm not gonna lie. That was.
Oh my god! All right, Brandon Chalmers, where can people find you?
Oh, you can find me on Instagram at that guy Chalmers, where I don't rant like an idiot. I promise. maybe I should. I don't know. Judge by your reaction.
Oh my god!
Jamie, where can they find you?
Jamie Noguchi on Instagram, Angry Zen Master on Twitter. I will be at the opening of the Carnegie Library Apple Store on Friday. They have a private event. It's like a opening for all the people who are participating in this Apple Store event thing for this month. So,
wait, hang on, Jamie Noguchi. This is in Washington D.C.
Sure,
right?
Yeah.
How do you get to Carnegie Apple?
You take the metro.
God damn it! You metro. At the very least, if you're gonna get it wrong, you stick with the cadence, man. Yes, and
practice.
No, metro. You already it's yeah. Nobody needs to practice. You know what it is? Schedule.
Cat butt.
Yeah, thank you for that. And now I, for some reason, have the desire to listen to a Limp Bizkit album for no particular reason.
Chinky, what the fuck are you doing?
It's showing us the chocolate starfish, apparently, is really what's going on. Congratulations, Jamie. You're a pirate now. That's what's going
on. Fucking weird cat. I'll be there Friday. I'll be there on the 25th with Keith Chow. We're running a workshop for kids to teach them how to make their own comic book characters and their own superheroes and stuff.
Nice!
So that'll be a lot of fun at the new Carnegie Library facility. I didn't know this, but it's that fancy looking old building right outside the convention center. So like, you know, an Awesome Con in the front entrance, there's that weird like stone ye old library monument looking thing.
Yeah.
So that's where the new Apple Store is going to be. So that's really cool.
Rad. Yeah. That's really cool. So I'll be able to buy a replacement charging cable when I go to a convention, I guess. So that'll be fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'll totally end up going to those.
Well, I mean, yeah. Okay. Yeah, we'll talk about that later.
Yep. Yes, we will.
All right. Bye.
Bye, kids. Bye.